With every single crisis and with every single politician stepping on the toes of their electorate, people are basically voting with their feet. We're just joking that whenever there will be some elections in some country, you always put up at least one billboard in the country, vote with your feet. Visit liberland.com. It would be funny. Every single taking away of the freedom always brings us new citizens. So people really think about Liberal as kind of, for now, intellectual refuge. But in the future, there is also quite a lot of people that are planning to move permanently to Liberal physically, not just that they support the idea.
Welcome to the Mr. Rad Show, where I talk to the most interesting global personalities about the future of humanity. Today I'm speaking from Siracusa, which is a beautiful city in the east coast of Sicily, an island, of course, in the south of Italy. And I recommend everyone looking for a feeling of freedom to come to Sicily, because it's a beautiful island and you really feel that you can do anything and dream and be yourself. But talking about freedom, it's great to have you here, Vit, with us. Vit, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And as you can hear, there is a test of the anti-missile protection system. I don't know if you can hear it. Sirens all around me.
All good. Where are you actually?
After 2 months of traveling, I am in Czech Republic visiting my kids and my parents actually that are here right now.
All right. Yeah. So Vit is actually originally Czech, but he, of course, is now the president of Liberland. And just to begin with that specifically, what made you start a new country, Vit?
Well, it was really a decision that we need to start from scratch if we want to systematically change about our society. I understood that there is a big problem. It takes ages or at least three generations to change people's mindset about the way that the country should be governed. Everybody is used to this kind of social democratic system that you can see all around us, German style social democracy, which brings mostly stagnation, very little basically development, and let's say 3 to 5% economic growth at max, but mostly 1 or 2%. And I could also understand that there is simply too much regulations and too much taxation all around the world, and it's very difficult to try to lower it. There are a couple tries around the world. New Zealand, a couple decades ago, did a fairly good job on reforms, and maybe Georgia under the Saakashvili also did some sort of reforms, but those are, I would say, exemptions from the rule that we are always having more regulations, more taxes, and that is generally not very useful for the societies we are living in, and that it might be much easier to start from scratch and also use the latest technologies for that. That way we could end up with 10 to 20% of economic growth in such societies, and we could restart the healthy economic growth in the civilization that we are living in.
Okay, that sounds super exciting, and I would like to go back to that freedom that citizens can have without much regulations and stuff from the government in a bit. But let's start by asking a very basic question. How do you go about finding an unclaimed piece of land and claim it? Like, how did you do it? How did you specifically, a guy from the Czech Republic, as far as I understand, you're a politician, or you were a politician in your home country. How do you go about finding a piece of land and claiming it?
That was an idea at the very beginning, that there must be a piece of land to claim, and that we were looking, basically we were doing kind of a shopping for it, basically using Google and Wikipedia, and Liberland was really the most suitable place for it, both culturally and legally. It was a very special place, and it's still, in a sense, a very special place in a way that it's not claimed by anybody else, a part of Liberland, and the Croatia claim is not colliding with the Liberland's claim, and Serbia already stated they don't mind creation of Liberland. But of course, it's not easy. We're breaking the paradigm. We are building something which has not been built like this before. We know that countries like Israel took 50 years to build, and they were claiming piece of territory which was heavily occupied by somebody else, and they started buying the territory and they started developing it step by step. There were hundreds of people arrested in the early days of creation of Israel just for people moving to the territory. If you're familiar with the history, the British were actually arresting Jews for just coming to the territory of Palestine. And after 50 years, they end up having a country. Liberland is in a much easier position. Liberland was never claimed by anybody else, actually, for the last 30 years at least. It was not occupied by anybody living there. So it is a very, very special place from that perspective.
Just for you guys that are just tuning in, or those that don't know where Liberland is, it's a piece of land between Serbia and Croatia. It's around 7 square kilometers. It's close to Hungary. It's on the Danube River. It's a piece of island with sandy beaches, as far as I understand. Never been there, but I would like to go. And it's called the Liberty Island, as far as I understand. Now, talking about neighbors, talking about governments around you and giving the example of Israel, that I think is very interesting as an example, Israel in Palestine. Now, Liberland is between two countries that are globally recognized as, let's say, legal nations. And those are Serbia and Croatia. How do you deal with those governments? In the beginning, how do you get a hold of politicians? Do you go and knock on the door of the Serbian prime minister or president and tell them, hey, I'm setting a new land next door? Or how do you do that?
Well, it was kind of the other way around. It was, for example, like first week alone, we had the mayor of the biggest city coming down to see us from Sombor. So they were knocking on our door and were interested what's going on. And we've got a couple of friends as well at the Vojvodina government, and with the Serbian government, we are basically keeping good relations via some proxies. And with Croatian government, of course, the situation is a bit more complicated. They have actually border dispute with every single neighbor. That gives us a lot of friends, because we have something to talk about if we're coming to country like Slovenia, Italy, or Bosnia. But the situation is more difficult, but we have managed to open a couple of doors very recently, a new form of door to discuss on the highest places. And we made quite a lot of waves recently when we put into the media that we have a frequent contact with the Croatian Secret Service, which is true, because they literally have 3 or 4 Liberlanders that they call every month and they are getting updates.
Is it good for you to be connected to the Secret Service, or is just something that happened?
It's quite important, you know, to be in touch with them, and we really appreciate that they are interested in what we are doing. So from that perspective, we're trying to make sure that they basically know about almost everything that we're doing, so they're not afraid that we're doing something malicious, etc. We're just building, we want to be good neighbors, and we want to be building a new country next door.
All right. I get it. So here comes Vit. He sets a flag on this unclaimed territory. He starts building relationships with the neighbors, Serbia and Croatia. He has a set of moral values that call the attention of many people. As far as I understand, you have a community by now of over 500,000 people globally.
There are actually 800,000 people now on our mailing list, or 680,000 active email addresses.
Oh, okay. So you start building a community. How do you, in a very practical sense, where does the water and the electricity come from? And do you have people living there regularly already?
We have people camping there right now. That was as far as we could get. But the big change is going to happen on 1st of January when Croatia enters Schengen. And that will give us much better access to Liberland. So we're basically building houseboats. We have one houseboat that has water and solar panels. So you have unlimited filtered water directly from Danube, and solar panels that is meant for permanent stay in Liberland. And we're building 5 more right now. It is a means of initial settlement of Liberland that we would like to basically start beginning 1st of January.
A little bit of seasteading. I don't know if you've heard about the concept.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, imagine that we actually do have two problems that we're going to solve with this. You know, there is a flooding hazard going on, which we will need to build some 6-7 meter high anti-flooding barrier in order to be able to build there. Or we have to build on pontoons, or that's one of the options. Or we could also build on those sticks that the winner of the last architectural competition actually suggested. Also Italian, so there is another relation to Italy, also suggested building on these sticks, like a big, so big elevated structure above the water, which I think is also quite interesting idea. The houseboats are really helping us to solve us also problem with Croatia right now, which we still aren't sure what will their reaction be when we start constructing. But we can simply avoid these problems by putting up houseboats and permanently parking them next to Liverland.
Let me unpack that part where you say that Croatia getting into the Schengen area, it's interesting for you. Why? Why is that?
Because that will prevent us from giving persona non grata status, or basically kicking people out of Croatia just for settlement of Liberland. That was something that was holding us back quite a bit, because the punishment is harsh in a sense, and I think it was completely unnecessary from their end. But so this will no longer be there, and plus people will be able to come to the Liberland area directly from Hungary without having to pass through the Croatia's border. So no more harassment of Liberlanders on the borders. Mm. Also quite important new step in the development. And I will be able to fly directly to Croatia, which is great as well, with a small plane, without having to worry about problematic customs and border crossings. So the fact that Croatia joins Schengen is very useful for Liberland.
Okay, interesting. So now you have a global community of hundreds of thousands of people. It's an online community mainly, I believe. Why do you think, what's the main reason why these people join and want to become a Liberlander?
I just forgot to mention, we are also building a village in Serbia right next to Liberland, only 4 kilometers okay. away. There is a resort under construction. We just very recently had a bunch of investors coming with the helicopter, so there are nice pictures from above on my Facebook profile if you wanted to see that. And so the fact that we're building a new country and we're serious about it, and that's something which excites a lot of people. And of course, I would say more than half of the people are there really for more freedom, which they understand that Liberland wants to take the idea of, let's say, republic and free state to the limit. And they are just excited about that as well. And of course, okay. the latest technologies, I think that will be another round of like interest group, which are really excited to utilize the latest technologies. The Web3 is in the title of this chat, how that yeah. can actually help to develop the country.
Okay, we'll jump to that in a second, because I think this is definitely an important point. It's kind of obvious that the world went nuts in the in the past years
in terms of losing a lot of freedom in some way or the other.
Do you think that kind of also ignited the interest for Liberland in this case?
Well, with every single crisis and with every single politician stepping on the toes of their electorate, people are basically voting with their feet. We're just joking not too long ago that whenever there will be some elections in some country, you always put up at least one billboard in the country, vote with your feet, visit liberland.com. It would be funny. But of course, every single taking away of the freedom always brings us new citizens. So people really think about Liberland as kind of, for now, maybe intellectual way of intellectual refuge. But in the future, they probably, there is also quite a lot of people that are planning to move permanently to Liberland physically, not just that they support the idea.
Okay. I understand. So right now, of course, in the 7 square kilometers, there is some people camping, there's some people permanently there, but the main bunch of citizens or the main part of a community of Liberland is online, and they can participate, as far as I understand, by becoming an e-resident, having an electronic residency or a citizenship. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. We have kind of two-tier structure. And of course, people can also become bigger contributors, and if they're the biggest contributor at the time of the contribution, they also become senators of the system, which is a life. It's like a House of Lords seat inside of the Liberland political system.
So what do you mean with contributors? What kind of contributions can they?
People contribute in different ways. Some people, for example, got Liberland recognized by some other country. That's a big form of contribution.
Okay, so like they act as an ambassador kind of.
Yes, and of course, the ultimate way of representing us is getting a recognition by other state, like our ambassador at large, Stephen Melnik, for example, became senator with that. Or people simply are biggest taxpayer, voluntary taxpayer at the time they contribute Liberland with some larger donation.
That's an interesting topic, taxes. I think we should unpack this a little bit more. You said in another interview that taxes are voluntary. And now that's a big change for people in our times where we actually have to pay taxes. It's the biggest expense, I think, of every single human being right now, every month. And sometimes those taxes are being, or most of the times are being misused by those in power. So how do you solve this problem?
Oh, there are three things. When you pay taxes, you can decide directly what they're going to be used for, which is one of the things which we want to build in our system that gives you a little bit better control of what you're paying for, unlike in other states. The other thing is that you are actually, for any contribution, you're going to get the shares of the country that you're living in. You are going to get those taxes and in exchange for the shares of the country. And those shares are called basically merits. That's another very important element. So you are basically investing in your country instead of just giving the money away. And another important thing is that we believe that people will get more responsibility for their activity in their society. They will feel like they belong in Liberland and they will be happy to contribute to the causes that are going on in Liberland. And we really want to limit the activity of the state to just security, diplomacy, and justice, only three areas. So that should be fairly cheap to take care of. I think less than 2 or 3% of GDP would be the total consumption of the state.
Security, diplomacy, and?
Justice.
Okay, so for example, these barriers that you're building, or this resort and the village in Serbia that you're building, this is all private investing.
Yes, yes, yes. And we want to keep these things separate.
All right. And when you say shares of the country, would it work a bit like investing in a company? So you buy a share in a company and you can get dividends or you can benefit from there. From the growth
potentially
of the stock,
you know, people could benefit in the form of dividends. We think that when we would start selling the land and setting it out, there will be massive amount of income which could be distributed in form of dividends.
All right. Now you talked about land, and I think that's important because that bridges the topic now towards the Web3 world and the blockchain topic. How is Liberland using blockchain at the moment, and what's your vision for it?
We know that it removes the third parties, right? Like it removes the government from government, and you don't have to, operations inside of government will be trustless. Nobody really has to count the votes because the system itself counts the votes. There will be validators that will run the transactions on the chain, but that will be all automated. And of course, the justice system can be automated, and the elections also, that will be all automated, and the budgeting will be completely transparent on one single blockchain platform. So this really adds a lot of benefits to administration of the state. Plus, if you think about it, the whole infrastructure of the state is decentralized. It's quite hard to take down the system, right? So there are so many advantages which should, you know, give, I'd say, another 30-40% boost to Liberland economy just by the fact that we will be hyper efficient in our administration. If you think about, for example, the land titles, that all can be basically NFTs on top of our blockchain, and they could be very easily transferable, unlike some other IT systems or, let's say, traditional paper cadastres, which there are still some in the world. This will take a couple seconds to transfer the title from one person to another. So the fact that there will be clear property rights, very efficient bureaucracy around these property rights, is one of the key elements, I think, for success of Liberland economically.
I think that's an interesting example because I think it could be very clear for the regular person to understand how this solves an issue. So at the moment, for example, I'm right now in Sicily and I'm trying to find a property to buy. You find all these owners of properties and lands that come to the meeting with a bunch of papers. And papers, of course, are showing the legality of the territory or the space. But to go through the process of changing ownership costs a lot of money, a lot of time, is very inefficient. A lot of times it's not transparent. And so what you're saying here is that this will all be digitalized, and this will all be even possible to do it on your computer, no matter if you're meeting the person physically or not. You can trust that the data that is online digitally is trustful because it's on the blockchain and because it has been verified automatically by the system.
Yeah, and just think about it also, the fact that it's on blockchain again gives it another layer of trust. In Serbia, where we're dealing with Katastar, the average reply time is 9 months. They are all digital, but still the whole system is incredibly inefficient. And they had hacking attack for 2 months. Their systems went down and they lost the data somehow. And they probably some type of properties probably changed ownership, but nobody really knows. This would not be possible on a blockchain. This would simply be impossible. So all of these inefficiencies from the, let's say, Web 2 or Web 1 have been solved this way.
I see the use case, definitely. And I think there's some other ventures doing something similar with NFTs and property on the blockchain. A good example of that is Satoshi Island in Vanuatu. I think they're doing a great job. And I'll connect you with Dennis.
Excellent.
Call, I promise. Anyway, I think that what I understand from the use of blockchain and Web3 technologies in the Liberland case is not only about land, it's not only about property rights, it's also about having the constitution on chain. Why is that important?
That's another place where things basically are automated. Instead of having discussion if the quorum for vote has been reached, you have a smart contract which tells you if the decision passed or not. And that smart contract directly creates new law, which could be another smart contract, or changes the constitution, which changes the original smart contract. That efficiency is quite great. And just think about it. We're really moving to this era of AI. In our system, as a citizen could technically be an AI. It could have a voting right. It could have property. And so we're ready for this new era of smart machines being able to participate in the societal affairs and owning property and getting ready for being useful to the rest of the society as well.
That's pretty forward thinking, definitely. And I applaud that. I still think that there's a lot of question marks in within it, but I applaud the boldness or the capacity to step forward and try to do this. My biggest question here is, if you put the possibility of people to vote on a lot of things, aren't you risking on having people that have no idea about certain topics to take some decisions on things that maybe they're not so knowledgeable about? Shouldn't there be like some sort of mentors or experts deciding on things that are important for the commonwealth of Liberlanders in this case? Basically, you're saying that people, you know, can vote for different reforms of the constitution and different things that you can do in Liberland. But sometimes if you're voting for a, you know, something related to health, and I'm not a health expert and I'm not a doctor and I don't have the enough knowledge to make a vote, but I'm still able to vote because that's the way the system is structured. Why is that good?
Liberland constitution does not allow to make laws about health. You know, we are only taking care of justice, security, and diplomacy. So that's the thing. And you are encouraged to select your representative. So if you don't have enough time or you don't feel you're expert in some field, you can delegate your votes to congressmen. And those congressmen, they have slightly better chances of passing the laws than the regular people in these general referendums. So you do have a representative democracy in which 21 members of Congress are elected by the people that hold merits.
The merits, by the way, are the shares of Liberland.
It's a bit like holding a coin. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And just to also unpack a bit what Vit said before, for those that don't have very clear what a smart contract is. Smart contract is basically a piece of code that has certain instructions that are preset that solve or run a process automatically without the need of a human behind it. So that's the beauty of putting stuff, let's say in this case, a voting process on the blockchain, because there's no one counting the votes necessarily. There's no human mistake possible, so to say, in theory. I know Vit, this is all, do you agree with me that this is all sort of an MVP in a way? It's almost like running, I don't want to say a test, because like you said, this is for real and this is happening. And I agree with this, but no one has ever done it before in such a magnitude. So in a way, there's so many things that can go right, but also can go wrong. And others will come and learn from your experience.
Yes, of course, what we're doing is on the edge. of the technology, and we waited quite a long time before the technology was ready for it. Actually, we decided, for example, that EOS wasn't fitting the bill for what we wanted to do, and we waited for the Polkadot ecosystem to grow to a degree that is usable. And right now, like 2 months ago, they basically launched the first smart contracts on top of their chain. So we wanted to give it a little bit of time for us to launch everything on top of their platform. We're literally using, let's say, 60-70% of the code. And we developed the rest of it ourselves because of the custom nature of our constitution and of the regulations that we want to make, of course. Building a smart chain like Polkadot and building a country on a smart chain is a different story. So we're still 14 days away from launching the mainnet, but we're very close to it. And I'm quite excited about it. We had a call about it yesterday. We are in the final sprint of the whole thing.
Okay, that's very exciting. Congrats for that. Just for people also to understand, Polkadot is one blockchain. EOS is another blockchain, and they have a lot of differences. And like Vit said, in the case of Liberland, Polkadot made more sense. For other people, other blockchains make more sense. They have different characteristics, so to say. And I'm glad you found what fits better for you.
Yes, it was a big selection process, of course. And now Joey is actually with us here on the call. He's also part of the team that is helping us to launch it.
If anyone in the public has a question and wants to jump in, I can definitely open up the mic and listen and have everyone participate. I know there might be some people wanting to jump in and ask questions or simply add comments. So Joey or whoever else, if you're interested, just let me know. I'll be happy to give you the mic. But I also had a super interesting question, because I understand that you work with a bunch of architects. You already said you work with Sergio Bianchi from Italy. Maybe you work with other architects as well. And I know you're developing a real estate project in Liberland in the actual physical space of the country, but you're also replicating that and building that same physical space into the virtual space. So like a metaverse of Liberland. Now, that sounds a bit confusing maybe for some people, but what that means is basically if you're building a new city in a physical space, you take that model and digital model of it and you put it online, basically. Why is that important?
We had two rounds of architectural competitions, and at the end, they were organized by Zahadid architects, but at the end, they stopped for words and took the best out of these concepts and turn it into serious urban plans for Liberland. And now when you have that, we're not going to have rules for urban planning, but we will probably require people to deploy the model of the building that they want to build first inside of the metaverse to be able to evaluate themselves how well the structure fits into the other structures that are on the land. That's quite important for us, but we also want to use this model to be able to basically distribute the parcels. And we want to do it in a way that whoever rents the place inside of the metaverse will also have a opportunity to homestead the actual property inside of Liberland. So there is another element to it.
And I think it also might solve a lot of urban planning, if we can call it like that, in the future. I feel like that's also one of those bureaucratic things in our regular nations and countries and cities that take a long time. And a lot of times, I'm from South America myself, I can tell you that urban planning pretty much doesn't exist. And it brings a lot of mystery sometimes, the way cities are built, because they're not... It feels like no one has a clue where things are being put or how they're being put. And that definitely is detrimental for the life quality of people. So I think this could also, having a 3D model online that is ideally up to date, real time, might bring a lot of easiness on the urban planning in the years to come.
Yeah, for us, it's literally a land register, but in 3D. We might also have to build quite high in order to fit everybody in Liberland. So why not? Why don't do it in 3D if we have the technology? And at some point, I don't know, maybe the virtual part of Liberland might even outgrow the physical part of Liberland. it's the world crazy these days. So I'm also putting a lot of hopes into this particular project.
So you see Liverland growing up vertically with buildings. That's how you see it.
That's, of course, like, think about it. We have, let's say, 600,000 people that want to move into 7 square kilometer territory, which would make us 4 times most overpopulated country in the world. 4 times over, most overpopulated. So the most overpopulated place is Macau. And that would be some 130,000 people inside of Liberland. But if you put 600,000, we would have to build very high.
Okay, I see. I see. What's your main challenge, by the way, right now?
The main challenge is to make sure that this blockchain governance runs as intended and it's properly audited and it's properly launched. So that's my biggest focus, and the biggest challenge from early next year will be to properly start the settlement of Liberland. So that's the second focus. And we really want to celebrate the anniversary of Liberland in April in a situation when it could hopefully be done from inside of Liberland, but the governance will be fully operational on chain at the same time.
Okay, that sounds exciting. And what's the most exciting thing happening at the moment? I know you've been talking to several countries for more recognition.
The most exciting thing very currently is that we opened our trade office in Malawi, which is recognized by the government. That's a very positive development for us recently. And we had yet another very important round of discussion in Caribbean last week. So that's also great. And have quite a new citizens coming from the Nomad Capitalist Conference in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and also from the GBA Summit in Washington, D.C. I'm really relaxing after this 3 or 4 weeks trip that I took last month, which was very packed with events all around the world. I think I visited 16 countries in that time period.
I have 2 more questions, actually, and I'll let you relax with your family and children. The first one is, do you think new nations like Liberland will start emerging in the next 50 years or so?
It's going to be a big trend. The Bajali's book, Network State, has set the tone for that. If you're
what
familiar
is that?
With
what
it.
Is the, Balaji's
book, Network State.
Yes.
It has set the tone. Not that there was something new for us. We've been basically doing that from beginning. But of course, it was great that somebody has summarized those ideas on a single plate.
He's very influential in that sense as well.
Yes. So I really expect that. And I was expecting this even before Liberland was formed, that there will be this round of new country creation as a result, or as, let's say, the push against this globalist thinking of building a one world government. There will, from the other side, there will be the push to build new countries and build up more competition in this area rather than monopolizing the government on the whole planet.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And what's your message? Because I feel like a bunch of people that relate to that last thing that you said, going against the one world government control, monopolizing the monetary system, banking system, but also governments in general. What's your message for those people that maybe want to start their own nation or country? What would you tell them? How can they start? It seems such a big challenge. From your experience, what should they do first?
I don't, this is the thing. Like, they have to be, of course, innovative. They have to come up with some good ideas. If they don't feel like they have to start your country, they can, of course, support Liberland for whatever it's doing right now, and or look up. Of course, we are not alone, but I would say we are the biggest startup country currently in the world. And of course, it's a challenge. It takes a while. You have to make a lot of efforts to put the community together, and it's not a summer holiday job. It is, a couple decade process in which you have to have a big group of dedicated people behind your back to make it happen.
All right. So 3 last single-pass answer questions for you, President Vidjelica from Liberland. Drugs consumption, legal, yes or no?
We do have a passage of victimless crime, so you can do whatever you want with your body, but don't expect some sort of health public health education system to save you if you overdose yourself and you don't get any insurance. You will have to rely on the charity. We hope that people will be responsible and they will make sure that they're either insured or they're treating their wealth properly, their health properly.
Same gender marriage, yes or no?
No laws on marriage in Liberland, so we don't care. You can marry whoever you want. We're not going to give you a certificate for it.
Okay, that's interesting. What about for Liberland, Bitcoin or your own currency?
Our reserves are fully in Bitcoin right now, so we're going to in future maintain, of course, when the merit will be on chain, reserves of both Bitcoins as well as merits. We are, of course, we are fully in Bitcoin, but we believe it's the first crypto that has not been very much surpassed by any other project. But on the other hand, we need to have a share of Liberland as a token in order for this governance model to run properly.
Okay, understood. All right, Mr. President, thank you so much. Thank you for your work. Thank you for inspiring others. Thank you for your time. And I hope you have a beautiful rest of the week.
Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure to be with you online. And looking forward to have you also on board and hopefully have you in one of the physical events in Liberland. And by the way, I forgot to mention, we are also celebrating New Year's Eve in Liberland. That could be a fun for somebody to join us.
That's going to be cold.
Yes, but we're ready for it.
Okay, that's good. People, check out VIT, check out Liberland. They're all over the place. This is the new trend. It's here to stay. If you haven't heard about them, go and look up. They're on Wikipedia. They're everywhere. They're doing a great job. I applaud what they're doing. Thank you so much for being here and see you next time, guys.
Thank you very much.
One love. Ciao, ciao.
Here at the Mr. Rad Show, we provide first-hand information straight from the original source of knowledge. The personal opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect those of Mr. Rad. This show is brought to you by The Rad House, an unbiased, transparent, agendaless, independent media house. Our theme music is written and produced by Marco Mello.